I hate to say it, but you should have expected this one. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
And I want to thank the folks out there in WLRY land and also on our podcast listeners for inviting us into your home. We appreciate it. This is a labor of love for Barry and I, and we enjoy the fact so many of you have commented on our shows. We don't see too many of your comments on the website, which we invite, www.principledpolicy.com, but some of you catch us at places or send us an email and just tell us how much you like the show, and we really, really appreciate it.
Well, yes, we do, Chuck. And speaking of liking the show, we want to make sure that people continue to like the show, so we're going to give you a warning right now, ladies and gentlemen. The subject material that we are going to be discussing on this program today is, well, shall we say, a fairly sensitive nature. So if you have young people listening, you might want to have them go do something else. We obviously are going to try to control the imagination and not be salacious, but this is something that both Chuck and I, after discussing it, decided this is an example of worldview issues, and it's something that we need to think about in those terms. Chuck, as I said in the teaser on the opening, this is something that you should expect, especially from this worldview construct. What I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is the news that is coming out of Washington, D.C., that the former executive director of the National Family Planning and Reproductive Health Association, which is a pro-abortion lobbying organization, had been arrested over the weekend and charged with making arrangements to have sex with a 12-year-old girl. Chuck, I, for one, as soon as I read this, thought, that's just the logical extension of your basic worldview.
Well, absolutely, Barry. Look, there is a moral law, and it has been given by God. And some of those things, it's not explicitly stated that making the arrangements to have this liaison with a 12-year-old girl is a sin. It doesn't have to be. It is implicitly stated, if you think about the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments, it is implicitly stated in the place where it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, somebody will say, well, adultery is cheating on a wife or a husband. Well, yes, but the implication is not so much about not engaging just in adultery. That doesn't let you off the hook for engaging in sexual activity outside the bounds of marriage. In fact, it's very clear that God has set it up so that in the rest of the law, that God has made it clear that you don't have those kind of relations outside the marriage bond. And you especially don't arrange to have a liaison with a 12-year-old girl when you're an adult male, or an adult female for that matter. And yet, here we have this. Now, this person, obviously, because they are more than willing to violate the sixth commandment, and that is, thou shalt not do murder. Abortion is murder. We're going to be right up front with that. There isn't any case where abortion is not murder. Now, if you want to make a case that, for instance, certain kinds of surgeries. I just had a friend who had an ectopic pregnancy that had to be reduced. Was that an abortion? From your understanding of the definition of abortion, Barry, was that an abortion?
An ectopic? No.
No, for a couple reasons. First of all, usually by the time the ectopic is found, the child has already died. And when they haven't, here is the dilemma that the doctor faces. You do everything you can to save both mother and child, and if the child dies, it is not an abortion. And in that case, every effort was made to save the life of the mother, and she was quite ill. And the only way to do it was to reduce that ectopic pregnancy, which would not have survived anyway. So the fact is, every effort was made, and the child died. That was not an abortion. Now, I'm only saying that to defend against the obvious thing, well, you have women die from these pregnancies. No, I wouldn't. I would have both mother and child attempted to be saved, and if the mother only could be saved, then that is the way God meant it to be in the first place. So, where we're going with this is the fact that this person has taken on a worldview in which God's law does not count. God's law is null and void. In fact, there really is no such thing as God's law, that the biblical law is basically something that should be ignored. In fact, it's dangerous. And that is the only way you can come to the conclusion that you can murder children in the womb. Now, Barry, we've been talking a lot about gun control in the last few weeks. And it's very interesting that President Barack Obama is so worried about the life of children in schools. He did that dog and pony show where he had the kids around him when he made his announcement of his initiative. He had those four little kids around, and they've been playing videos that show kids writing letters to President Obama. Please, 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 please ban guns. Save my life, ban guns. Well, the same President Barack Obama doesn't care a whit for any child contained in the womb. In fact, it's the mother's right, no matter what, to decide to kill that child. In fact, the anniversary of Roe versus Wade is in 2 days, and I believe the death count stands over 50 million, if I'm not mistaken, just in the United States alone. Is that not correct?
Yes, I believe that's correct.
So here we have the worldview issue that people are attempting to take the moral high road by quote-unquote protecting the right to abortion, and that same person is going out and making arrangements to have a meeting for illicit purposes across state lines, no less, with a girl that is maybe just barely capable of reproducing at this point.
Right. Again, and I don't think it's so much that interest, but the point is that Scott Swerling, who is the former executive director of the National Family Planning and Reproductive Health Association, was in the market for having sexual relationships with an underage girl. Actually, he lives in Gaithersburg, Maryland, so for him to go to Washington, D.C., where the meeting was arranged by the undercover Washington, D.C. police FBI joint task force that was put together, Swerling was caught engaging in his own illicit desires. He thought he was talking to a father who was offering up his 12-year-old daughter for sex. He suspected that there might be something to it, that he might be being set up, but of course the police are smart enough. They sent supposedly a photo of this girl, and that was all Swerling needed. As soon as he saw that there was a photo and he saw what she looked like, he was ready to go. And so he did. He came to the meeting spot, and as soon as he got there, well, justice took over, and he was arrested. But Chuck, the kick here on this is not so much that someone who's in his position of cheapening human life and saying that it's okay to kill defenseless unborn children also has these type of illicit desires. The other kicker is also, instead of just being the director of this National Family Planning and Reproductive Health Association, he's also an executive director at the American School Counselors Association. So, obviously, Mr. Swerling is a school counselor. That brings an entire new light on the subject.
And that brings us full circle around to this whole thing we've been talking about, how we're going to make our schools safer is by bringing in more school counselors. Now, Barry, I don't want to paint with a broad brush and say all school counselors are like this guy. But
no, far from it.
No. There are a number of people, there are a certain percentage of school counselors who do the gig so they can have access to kids for nefarious purposes. And what's interesting to me is that this guy being what essentially a pedophile, these guys know that there are parents and guardian types who do offer children up underage for this kind of thing in exchange for money. It's a form of human trafficking. Now, it's really not surprising to me that someone who thinks of a fetus as merely a conglomeration of cells really doesn't think that much more highly of a 12-year-old girl.
Not at all.
And that's the whole point. He thinks very lowly of the unborn, and he only thinks slightly higher of the born, as long as they're females and essentially available for his particular pleasure. It's interesting that you bring it up, that he thought he might have run into a ringer. But as soon as he saw the picture, he was A-okay with it. That strikes me as something, I don't even know how to describe how I feel about that, to be quite honest. As the father of girls, that's very difficult for me to fathom that this guy would be anywhere near school children. And not only that, school children at the same time that he's advocating aborting the unborn.
Well, and I think that leads to a crisis in worldview for many parents out there, Charles. Many people, first of all, don't take the time to dig into the backgrounds of the people that they're entrusting their children to, whether it be babysitters or whether it be school personnel acting, as we say in the law, in loco parentis, or in place of the parent. I think it's very important that if you are going to make those kind of determinations, that there should be some due diligence that's put forth by parents to say, wait a minute, okay, I got a guy here who's directing a abortion lobby group, and he's going to counsel my kids. I'm not sure I like that idea as pro-life and a Christian, but many people do make those decisions every day and send their children off to public schools or even to some of the private schools, and then are surprised later on when something happens and they feel betrayed because, well, they just expected it to be okay. Why we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved, Charles.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be critical of people who choose to send their kids to the public schools. They have their reasons. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to beg and plead with you. If you care about passing along your faith and your worldview to your children, teach them yourself. It really is not that hard. You don't have to be a genius. You'll be surprised how smart kids are. You'll be surprised how much you will learn if you get your kids out of public schools and away from people like this. Now, look, I'm not saying that again, everybody in the public schools is like this. I don't even say that there aren't Christians in the public schools, because I know there are some teaching in the public schools. But my answer to that is, so what? They're not allowed to convey any kind of Christian worldview ideal, or they will lose their job. They are required to follow curriculum standards set up by the district. The districts, for the most part, go along with state standards, which basically have long since abandoned any idea of a Christian worldview. You have to know that and keep it in mind. In fact, people like this Richard Swerling, they seek out getting themselves these kinds of jobs so that they can have an impact. They're not, I'm not saying he was necessarily in it just to have contact with young girls. He was in it to influence the way the children that he was counseling thought. And he wanted to instill these kind of values in them. Keep that in mind. If that is not the way you think, if those are not the kind of values that you have, then, ladies and gentlemen, you must consider homeschooling your kids.
Oh, absolutely.
Or putting them in a private Christian school. And even that's not, because so many of the Christian schools have gone over to a humanist curriculum. I can think of several. I have a friend who now regrets sending his kid to a Christian school, and basically what he did was he created a Christian socialist, because they used a curriculum set that basically churned out socialist humanists. So he's a kid who really thinks that Jesus died on the cross so we could have socialized healthcare and welfare systems. A very progressive view. Ladies and gentlemen, that is progressive Christianity.
Well,
he did not do that, but he did.
Well, Chuck, it's another thing as well, because Scripture is very clear that we as parents are supposed to bring our children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord and training them to observe the things that Christ taught us. But oftentimes, even in some of those Christian situations, we're having other people do the job that God has given the direct command and the duty of the parents to do. Let's just be honest. Everybody can have their own rationales for making decisions, but when we take it through the lens of a holistic Christian worldview, there's very little excuse for those who call and hold upon the name of Christ to not be training their own children up and teaching them to observe and look at the world and all the subjects of the world through a biblical lens, which is not something that happens rarely, if at all, in the public school systems. And given what we've said and much of what's happening in Christian education, which is heading toward the secular model rather than toward a biblical model.
Exactly. And ladies and gentlemen, your kid is not going to get that kind of an education anywhere but at home. I'm going to be quite honest with you. We don't all do exactly the right things. Those of us who did homeschool, there's some things I wish I did, but I didn't do it. And I'm very proud of what my daughters have become as homeschooled kids. And they all perform very well in their educational opportunities post high school graduation. So, and they also come at it with a Christian worldview, something they necessarily have had I left them in public school. Now, Barry, guess what?
We're out of time.
But pay attention to these worldview issues, if you would, ladies and gentlemen, and join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.